From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 8. In summer and in winter shall it be. The streams of living water which flow from Jerusalem are not dried up by the parching heats of sultry midsummer any more than they were frozen by the cold winds of blustering winter. Rejoice, O my soul, that thou art spared to testify of the faithfulness of the Lord. The seasons change, and thou changest, but thy Lord abides evermore the same, and the streams of his love are as deep, as broad, and as full as ever. The heats of business cares and scorching trials make me need the cooling influences of the river of his grace. I may go at once and drink to the full from the inexhaustible fountain, for in summer and in winter it pours forth its flood. The upper springs are never scanty, and blessed be the name of the Lord, the nether springs cannot fail either. Elijah found Cherith dry up, but Jehovah was still the same God of providence. Job said his brethren were like deceitful brooks, but he found his God an overflowing river of consolation. The Nile is the great confidence of Egypt, but its floods are variable. Our Lord is evermore the same. By turning the course of the Euphrates, Cyrus took the city of Babylon, but no power, human or infernal, can divert the current of divine grace. The tracks of ancient rivers have been found all dry and desolate, but the streams which take their rise on the mountains of divine sovereignty and infinite love shall ever be full to the brim. Generations melt away, but the course of grace is unaltered. The river of God may sing with greater truth than the brook in the poem, "Men may come and men may go, but I go on forever." How happy art thou, my soul, to be led beside such still waters! Never wander to other streams, lest thou hear the Lord's rebuke. What hast thou to do in the way of Egypt to drink of the muddy river?
Far above the noise of
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series in 1 Thessalonians, he brings the concluding portion of the second of three messages dealing with the day of the Lord. The text is verses 6 through 11 of chapter 5. In this message, he's addressing the question of how the world will end, especially as it concerns the believer and the unsaved. That will be a time of both mercy and of judgment, of mercy for those who are trusting in Christ, and of judgment for the lost. The particular emphasis in this message is upon watchfulness for that long-awaited appearing of Christ. Now, continuing this study of the day of the Lord, here is Pastor Tamassian.
Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? It struck me that the Lord gave a very important lesson as to how prone believers are to not be able to watch in the way that he exhorts. Not by being in their presence and giving the exhortation, watch, and then going away for a while and then returning. He went away for just a short period of time, just a short season. He said, watch, watch. Just a short time he goes away and he comes back and they're not watching. Just after he had made the exhortation in relation to his return, and this, he goes away and he comes back. And to me, it stood out as here's a real life example of how you're going to struggle to watch in relation to my return. You're going to sleep. You're going to drift into spiritual slumber, it's going to be very easy for you to do that and to not watch and be vigilant in light of my return. How much more then are we prone, given the Lord has gone to glory and we're waiting now generations for his return, for us to come to the conclusion that there's no need to watch? And Paul, he exhorts this upon the church. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch. If the Lord could go away for an hour and return and not find us watching after giving us the exhortation to watch, how much more likely is it, having said what he said when he was here in present in body, and as we were waiting for his return, how easy for the church of Jesus Christ to slumber. So I ask the question again, are we sleeping? If the disciples fell asleep after an hour, failed to watch and be vigilant after an hour, you've been on the Christian life, how long? Is it possible? I would hesitate even to suggest, but I put it to you, it is likely that there's a slumbering spirit in your heart and in your life. In other words, we should be suspicious of ourselves. If Peter and James and John, in the presence, the physical presence of Christ, fail to watch, am I any stronger than they? Any more spiritually vigilant than they? And to be sober. He says in verse 6, watch and be sober. Someone who lives in a very deliberate, patient, and careful manner, according to the gospel, it's used again in verse 8. Let us who are of the day be sober. I think the sense of it, obviously there's a contrast with verse 7. They that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. That's not being sober. But I think the sobriety is in light of the gospel. I think it's by a mind shaped by the gospel. In 1 Peter 1, verse 13, Peter writes, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You gird up our mind, we're sober, and again, it's in light of the Lord's return and a patience in what we know is true, fundamental truths about the gospel, and our knowledge of the Lord's return. It creates within us, or certainly exhorts us, to not only be watchful, but to be sober. Now, this is something that is not appreciated today. We want to make everything trite and light and frothy and acceptable to everyone's palate. And I'm not saying that the Christian should take on a glum approach to life, a sobriety that makes them miserable. I'm talking here about a sobriety because we know the gospel. I think, again, of Leonard Ravenhill, when he talked about people who would come to him and say, you take things too seriously, Mr. Ravenhill. You're very serious about these things. And his response was always, I do not see the day. I don't see the Lord coming to me and saying, Leonard, you took it all too seriously. It's not going to happen like that. The Lord calls us to understand the weight of eternal things, to grapple with them, to live in light of them. And beloved, this whole world, the devil, the flesh, the world in which we live, is militating to just rock us into a slumber of lack of concern for eternal things. Every power that is not sourced in Christ is moving you to just be sleepy in your walk with the Lord. Everything. There are forces at work within, without, and all around, just trying to just rock you into a slumber so that you do not live absolutely, totally consecrated and sold out for Christ. And it's hard work. It's hard work being aware of it. It zaps our energy. Wake up every day and know that the devil is after me. He's after me to keep me from prayer. He's after me to keep me from the Word. He's after me to keep me from family worship. He's after me to stop me from witnessing and living the Christian life and living a godly life and being holy. And he's after me in every way. My flesh, the spirit may be willing, the flesh is weak, as the Lord exhorted on that occasion of Gethsemane and made his point there. There's much willingness, but the flesh is so weak. There's so much we're militating against. So what is the answer, beloved? What is the answer? How can we be sober? How can we watch? Well, I think you go back to verse 5, first and foremost, you realize what you are. You're children of the light, children of the day. This is what you are. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of the position Christ has already granted you. Don't forget what is real already. I am not of the darkness. I don't dwell there. I don't belong there. I don't live there. It's not where Christ has placed me. And he has given me his spirit, and he moves within my heart. And oh, that I might respond to the sweet beckonings of the Spirit of God. It calls me to meet with the Lord. It calls me to live in this fashion in light of his return. They that sleep, sleep in the night. Five foolish virgins. They may be in the company of those that are ready, but they're not ready themselves. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Oh, there's something appealing to the flesh, to those that live carefree and do what they want and put it under the banner of Christian liberty. But are they sober? Or are they drunken? Drunken and all the appealing things of this world. Drunk on all the hobbies and fun things to do. And I'm not saying all of it is unwarranted. But I'm trying to do what Paul's doing here. I'm letting the text speak. Paul is drawing the church. He's trying to draw them into live in light of the day of the Lord. He is pulling them along with himself. I am just as prone to fall away. I'm just as prone to get into a spiritual slumber as you may be, but let us watch and be sober. This is a collective effort, an appeal to the entire Church of Jesus Christ. Don't succumb to the powers, to all the things out there that put us into a slumber. Be of the light. Be of the day. I'm not going to move on. I think I'll leave the rest of these verses to next week. I won't do them justice if I begin to look at them with you now. But the Lord's return, let's just close with this thought. The Lord's return is not just a doctrine to be believed. It is a truth that changes how we live. Turn for a second just to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3 verse 1. Again, note what John does. John lays out, here's what we are. Verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. See, they're children of the day, of light. The world's in darkness, doesn't understand. It makes a difference. They don't grasp why we are what we are and why we live how we live. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. This is true now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. John had the same understanding. The knowledge of the Lord's return makes a difference in how you live. It's not, let me say it again, it's not just a doctrine to be believed. I believe in the literal, physical, visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ. To say that is a wonderful thing to be able to say and to really believe it in the heart. But But again, everything in the world, everything within and without, aside from the Spirit of God and the Word of God, the two agencies that are helping us, aside from that, every power militates to make you to be able to say, I believe this, but it doesn't actually make a difference. It doesn't actually change how I view myself and my responsibilities. It doesn't change how I view the world that is dying and lost. It doesn't change how you look at the Lord's people. It doesn't change anything. I just believe it, I acknowledge it, I assent to it, but it doesn't make a fundamental difference. Beloved, that's not the point. The doctrine shapes us. Doctrine changes. Theology directs and enables us to live in the right fashion. And as far as I can tell from the Word of God, nothing is more motivating to right living than the knowledge that Christ is coming back. Yes, I think we have to say there is a sleepiness. And I look to God and I know the answer. I know it comes from Him. It needs to be sought from Him. There's no shortcut to it, you know. And I have said for years that many of our children and young people are struggling with the fact that there's no evidence of the power and presence of Christ in our midst. They don't know they're struggling with it. The way they struggle with it is they see activity somewhere else, or they see something that appears to be going on. It doesn't really matter that even theologically they can see problems with it, but they'd rather be somewhere where it feels like something's going on. And to be in a place where we talk, but we don't experience the moving of God. In other words, when we don't have the real, we're very prone to go after the false. When we don't understand what the true looks like, we're susceptible to be misled by the counterfeit. So it is with many young people. I call you, beloved, today to this vigilance. As you go through the Word of God, you'll find it so often paired with prayer that you cannot really watch and be sober without praying. The greatest manifestation of watchfulness and sobriety is in prayer, seeking the Lord. Prayer, you see, is something that you could say you don't really have to do, or it's something that is supplemental, or it's you can look at it in a very kind of naive way. But to someone who is engaged constantly in communion with the Lord, that is vigilance. That is being sober because they're bringing their heart before God. They're having their own selves brought before God, the concerns of their heart brought before God. That's a kind of spiritual vigilance that sees the world through the lens of eternity. But a lack of prayer, a lack of seeking the Lord, or the kind of prayer that just drudges through a few points and doesn't lay hold on God or engage with God as Jacob did. Are you sleeping, beloved? Are we sleeping? Are the vast majority in our churches sleeping? Have we a legacy of God's work, God's doings, and God's activity? It's all just a memory. God forgive us. God forgive us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.